Good evening. Turn with me, if you will, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. Luke, chapter 22. I don't know much about being brief, but I'm going to try very hard. So bear with me. Luke, chapter 22, verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." You and I are here, and we are about to do the same thing that our Lord and his disciples did. Here we have the Lord instituting the Lord's table or the Lord's supper the night before he was to be crucified. Why are we here to do this? Have we ever wondered why we do this? Well, look at the last part of that verse. He said, "This do in remembrance of me." We're here to give thanks. We're here to remember what God has done for us. That hymn we sing, "To God be the glory, great things he hath done." This is all about him. Now, I'm very briefly, hopefully, going to speak to you concerning the bread and then gave the wine. I've got five things that I want to show you that this bread represents in the body of Christ. Five things. And I pray God would enable us to truly remember him and to truly give thanks unto him for what he's done for us. The first thing I want to show you is that his body, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which this unleavened bread represents, was a prepared body. Turn over with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And look with me at verse 5. "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." God the Father prepared a body, a physical human body, for the Lord Jesus Christ from eternity. He really did. Why? Why would God do that? That seems so foolish. Why would God do such a thing? Here's why. Because God purposed to save a people. What he call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now you think, well, couldn't God have done this another way? He's got, this is the only way. In the garden, Tony just preached, what happened in the garden? Man sinned, man died, man fell. Man sinned, man must die. And you and I will die, but our death is not going to take away our sin. We just read, "In sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not." You and I, the shedding of our blood can't take away our sins. It's not going to. You see, you and I are guilty sinners. We can't put away our sin. My sin must be put away, but I can't do it. Holy justice must be satisfied. God is holy. This is greatly misunderstood in our day, but God, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. God is going to punish sin. You and I can't do it. We need a substitute. We need someone to die in our place, to die in our stead. We need a Savior. We need one to save us, one who is able to save us. We need a sacrifice for our sin, but not just any sacrifice. We need the sacrifice acceptable to God. Look here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 6. It goes on, it says, "In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I," this is the Lord Jesus Christ, "Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God." You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came into this world. And he came into this world on purpose. He was on a mission. He came here on purpose, and that purpose was to save his people from their sins. Aren't you glad a body was prepared for him? Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. The second thing that I want to show you about his body is that it was a real human body. Nothing is more miraculous to me than to consider that God became a man. What do we read? "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Is that not glorious? You remember Simeon, he beheld the baby, Jesus Christ, God in the form of a baby. Is that not amazing? And he grew and he was a man and he worked. He hungered and thirsted just like you and me. He got tired. He was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He truly was a man. Is that not remarkable? And when I consider that, I just think, you know, how wonderful is our God? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Anything? God becoming a man, that nothing's too hard for our God, is it, brethren? Nothing. Nothing. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Praise God. Praise God. Third, his body was the perfect body. You know, you and I are sinners. All we are is sin. We can only do sin. Let me tell you what the scriptures say about Christ. 1 Peter 2:22 says, he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He knew no sin. He could not sin. You see, the reason we use unleavened bread, what did the Lord say? He said, you beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You know, unleavened bread represents perfection, no sin. That's why we use that. It represents Christ. You see, God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, but he was not in sinful flesh. God in human flesh. He was not like us. That's the problem when we think God's like us. He's not. He's not. All you and I are sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, he knew no sin. He never had one sinful deed. He never had one sinful thought. And Gabe mentioned this morning, God, the secret sins, those that we don't let anybody else see, God sees them all. God searches the heart. We can't hide any sin from God. The Lord Jesus Christ had no sin. He never even had a sinful motive. Perfect. Absolute perfection. He lived a life of perfect obedience to God. He kept every law every day, every second of every day. Now, what's the significance of that? Why is that good news for us? He did what you and I can't do. He brought in everlasting righteousness for his people. You know, over in Romans, we read that there are many people who go about, all of us by nature, go about to establish our own righteousness, not submitting to the righteousness of God. That's Christ. He brought in everlasting righteousness. He is the righteousness of God. When we take this bread, if you take this bread, when we take this bread, what are we saying? Adam, you're about to confess the Lord in baptism. When we take this bread, we're saying Christ is all my righteousness. Every bit of it. He is my righteousness completely before God. He's made of God. Are you in Christ Jesus, who has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption? How perfect. I said his body is perfect. How perfect is the body of Christ? So perfect that in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. He's so perfect that you and I, dead dog sinners, are complete in him. That's how perfect he is. Fourth, his body was a slain body. The Lord Jesus was crucified. He really was crucified at Calvary. We just read, this is my body which is given. His body was given. He died on purpose. It was given. It was broken for us. You see, how did he die? I'm not going to try to explain it other than what the scriptures make clear. He died under the full weight of our sin and our guilt. He hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He who knew no sin, God made him to be sin for us, made to be a curse. I can't explain that. I'm not even going to try. But I know that my sins became his. God could not kill his Son if he was not guilty. God's justice demanded he die. What did the Lord say? David wrote this, but it certainly speaks of Christ in Psalm 40. He said, mine and innumerable evils have compassed me about, mine iniquities, mine iniquities. He said, I'm a worm, no man. And because of that, because he truly became my substitute, God's justice demanded he die. God will by no means clear the guilty. You just consider, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God forsook God. Is that not amazing? Because he made him to be sin, he made us to be the righteousness of God in him. And this all happened because of one reason. Well, why did this happen? Why did God prepare a body for him? Why was he truly a man? Why was his body slain? Why was he the perfect one? Because of his love for his people. You know, Isaiah tells us that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Why did it please the Lord to bruise him? Over in 1 Samuel chapter 12, it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. That's why it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Turn over with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And look at verse 11. John 10:11 says, this is the Lord Jesus speaking, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He gave his life for the sheep. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. And over in John 15, he tells us, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Oh, he was slain. He was forsaken by his father. But praise God, it was no accident. Delivered according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God because of his love for us. Now look, while we're in John 10, look down at verse 17 and 18 here. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And that leads into my last point. His body is a risen body. You know, he died. He really died. But he did not stay in the grave for long. Praise God. And his resurrection, the fact that he arose, herein lies my hope. What does that signify? The fact that Christ came out of the grave. God is satisfied. Fully satisfied. I love thinking about this. How did he arise from the grave? He arose victorious. Death is swallowed up in victory, is it not? He's the victorious Savior. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for what? Our justification. We're justified. Like that publican you mentioned earlier, he went home justified because of what Christ did. He made propitiation for us. He atoned for our sin. He redeemed us back to God. Man sinned, man must die. Only God can satisfy God. Christ did both. He did both. Satisfied the justice of God that only he could satisfy. We never could. We never could. He conquered death. And by his death, he's given us life. Scriptures say we're reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Oh, praise his blessed name. He is risen. And not only is he risen, he rose and he ascended back into glory with his Father. I love thinking about this. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ shall be glorified forever. When Moose was here a few weeks ago, he preached on worthy is the Lamb. I just like to think about this. If we're God, we'll be sitting there at the feet of our Savior singing, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. He is worthy. He is worthy. In closing, I want to show you a few verses in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. When we take this bread, who are we looking to? We looking to ourselves? No. Oh, by the grace of God, we will be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now hear this. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We're about to take this bread. As we take this bread, may we do so by faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, remembering Christ, remembering him and his perfect, holy body, which was given for us and broken, completely broken for us needy sinners. May we look to him as all our righteousness, all our righteousness, all our hope before God Almighty. Thanks be unto God for the precious body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. God, our Father, we come to you tonight as needy sinners in need of thy mercy. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your Son, in whom we have redemption. Father, thank you for preparing a body for him from eternity. Thank you for sending him into this world to save his people from their sins. Oh, we're so thankful that he's the friend of publicans and sinners. Lord, that's what we are. Oh, we need your mercy. We need him. Father, just like that prodigal son came home and his father robed him in that precious robe, would you robe us in this righteousness of Christ? May we be found in him, his righteousness alone. Oh, God, thank you for Christ. Thank you for salvation in him. Give us faith to look to him right now. Give us faith to trust in him, to lean on him for all our hope before you. Oh, God, cause us to truly look to Christ. It's in his name that I give thanks. Amen.
Great blessing. Aren't you so glad for the Lord's body? So glad, so thankful. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, I would like to read the middle line in verse 13. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You know what makes salvation? I mean salvation, deliverance. Do you know what makes salvation so overwhelming to a child of God? So overwhelming. When we enter into these things, it's overwhelming, isn't it? You know what makes it so absolutely overwhelming? It's knowing that judgment was supposed to come to me. Getting a hold of that. Judgment was supposed to come to me. Our Lord said right here in verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. I wonder how many people didn't believe him. I wonder how many people. I wonder how many people heard the warning and thought nothing of it. I tell you who did believe it. Every soul that had blood on the doorpost believed it. Every single soul. That blood said, death has already been here. That's what it said. Death has already been here. And that's what this table is saying. And that's what this pool is saying. Death has already been here. Because of sin, God demands death, and Christ provided death. That's what he demanded. That's what Christ provided. And he gave us these two ordinances so we could remember that death and confess something in that death. In these two ordinances, both of these ordinances, we go into one, and one goes into us. And I'd like to repeat that. Our God gave us two ordinances. He said, I want you to keep these two ordinances. This is a remembrance to you. In one of them, we go into it. And in the other one, it goes into us. I in him, he in me. I want you to remember that. That's what he's saying. I want you to remember that. We are not about to accomplish salvation. In this, we are screaming at the top of our lungs, it is finished. That's what we're saying. It's finished. It is finished. I died in him. He lives in me. I cannot keep living if I don't eat. He said, you eat of me. My body's flesh, my blood is drink. I died in him. He lives in me. Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this is. That God would live in me. That's amazing, isn't it? Verse 13 says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. On the cross of Calvary, our Lord accomplished a transaction. An exchange took place. He put our sin on him. And he put his blood on us. And when God looked at his own son, God saw the sin. And God said, when I see the sin, when I see the sin, I'm going to rain down absolute judgment and destruction on you. And he did. And now because of that, when he looks at us, he sees the blood. And he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I'll pass over you. Judgment and destruction will not come to you. Our salvation is in that blood, isn't it? He said, when I see the blood, that's the condition. When I see the blood. Now, this is what I want us to enter into for just a minute, okay? When God sees that blood, when he looks at us, he sees blood. When God sees that blood, what does he see? What does he see? He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. What does he see in that blood that causes him to say, I'm satisfied? Go with me, if you would, to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verse 3 says, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. When God sees the blood, he sees innocence. Absolute innocence. When Christ covered us in his own blood, he covered us in innocence. That's what he did. Now, when God looks at Christ and when he saw the sin, God saw the guilt. That's what he saw when he saw the sin. He saw guilt. Christ covered himself in our own guilt. And God looked at him and God saw that guilt. Now when he looks at us, he stares at that blood. And he sees what that blood is. And with all that innocence, he says, I'm going to pass over you. The blood of his own son, that innocent blood, he sees us as innocent as Christ. I'll pass over you. That is what we are confessing in this table and in this pool. We are confessing his innocence, not ours. Not ours. We are not confessing ours. We're confessing his. We're not saying in this, we are worthy. We're saying in this, he is worthy. He alone is worthy. And he made us innocent in his blood. That's what God sees, innocence, every time he looks at that blood. Look with me, if you would, at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. When God sees the blood, he sees that payment. That's what he sees. The wages of sin is death, and that's what Christ paid. That's exactly what he paid. When God saw the sin on him, he said, the wages that you deserve, and that is so amazing. He said this to his own son. The wages you deserve is death. And it was the death of Christ that poured his blood all over us. Every time now God sees that blood, he sees the payment of his own dear son. And he said, when I see that payment, I'm going to pass over you. Ephesians 1 says, we have redemption through his blood. Peter called it precious blood. He said, we were not redeemed. That means paid in full. We were not paid for with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. He made that payment. He made it in full. And that's what we're confessing in both of these ordinances. When we take this, we're saying he made the payment. He paid it in full. The debt's satisfied. God said, when I see that blood, I'll pass over you. He's going to see that innocence and he's going to see that perfect payment. Now go with me, if you would, to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. When God sees the blood, he sees a sinner who has been covered in an everlasting covenant. Everlasting covenant. Christ made a covenant with his Father. He made a promise to his Father. He said, I'm going to make every soul that you give me innocent. They're all guilty. But every soul that you give me, I'm going to make that soul innocent. He said, you charge everything they owe to my account and I'm going to pay it. And I'm going to pay all of it. And I promise I'll pay it. And now when God looks at that blood, every single time he looks at that blood, he sees that everlasting covenant. That covenant is never going to end. It is an everlasting covenant. Christ said, everything they need, I'm going to provide it for all eternity. Every single thing they need. And that's what we're confessing in both of these ordinances. When we take this table and when we enter this pool, we're saying God made an everlasting covenant with me. Ordered in all things and sure. We're not confessing our works. We're not confessing our anything. Not our anything. We're not confessing God saved me except for this last little smidge that I have to do to finally put the cap on salvation. We're saying Christ made me innocent. Christ paid all my debt. And it's because he made an everlasting covenant with me. The covenant of his blood. The song says, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Every sinner plunged beneath that flood will lose all his guilty stains. And in that last day, when we stand before God stainless, absolutely stainless, covered in the blood from Emmanuel's veins, God Almighty is going to look at us and he is going to say, I will pass you by. Welcome in. Judgment is not coming to you. And that's our confession tonight. That's what we're confessing. All of us. I'm so glad we're doing both ordinances tonight. All of us are confessing tonight. We're all confessing the same thing. There are not two confessions. It's two ordinances of the same confession. We're either confessing our union with him or his union with us, which is the same thing. It's about like saying, I'm married to Hannah and Hannah's married to me. That's the same thing. He spared us. He delivered us. He saved us. And he did it all because of our Lord's broken body and that precious shed blood. Let's bow in prayer.